I think most of you know Dan by now. He arrived in Bedford when he was 8 years old. And you've seen him now grow and we hope mature.
Yes.
During the subsequent 15 years. He's now 22. He has his diploma. He's going to be married to Rachel in 20 days, moving to Omaha 2 weeks after the wedding. Then real life begins. We're very happy to have you both here today and looking forward to the words that Dan will share with us. His title is Life Equals Change. Dan?
Thank you, Pastor. Dad? This morning my title is Life Equals Change. And the more that I thought about that, the more I realized that it really is true. If we're alive, we're going to be changing in life. Whether big changes or small changes, it's going to happen. Kind of like death and taxes. It's going to happen. We're going to go through changes in life. And so this morning, I just wanted to encourage you and maybe give you hope in your changes in life. I'm going through, as Dad just mentioned, many different changes and lots of stressful times, lots of struggles. But if you trust and rely on God and have that hope, then you can get through it. And I want to give you that encouragement today. So let me just share a little bit about my life, and he just gave a quick recap. They say three of the biggest, most stressful changes that happen to you in life are graduating, trying to find a job, getting married, and moving. So I thought that I would do the most stressful things that I could possibly do, just pack them all in, right, in about the span of a little bit over a month. So that's what I'm doing. And I want to thank you all, my church family. As I've gone through school and I finally graduated last month, praise God, it's such a relief to be done with college and done with school. I'll continue learning, but done with writing papers of that sort. I know Rachel and Andrew and all those other people have felt that sense of relief as well. But thank you for encouraging me and supporting me and just loving me from the time that I was maybe perhaps a little bit more ornery when I was younger, a little bit annoying. But hopefully I've matured a little bit since then. My mom could tell you that maybe I'm a little bit ornery still at times. And then getting married, thank you for the times that Rachel comes up here showing her love and showing her grace. She truly is blessed by you guys as well. Getting up here pretty much every time we come and she does one of her sign language songs to music, all that sort of thing. She's really blessed by you guys as well, and I'm really honored to be marrying you, Rachel. So thank you for saying yes, even though some of my family has tried to persuade you otherwise. You know who you are, Mark. They joke around because I can be a little bit silly at times and say, You're sure you really want to marry Danny? I said, sure. You know him, right? You sure you want to go through with this? She says, yeah, I guess. So thank you, Rachel. And let me just tell you a little bit about our move to Omaha as well. I'll be interning starting in July with a pastor out there, Scott Ross. A really neat guy. And his associate pastor, his daughter, Christy Ross. And it all started last year at National Camp. And Christy Ross sat down at the lunch table with Rachel and I. And she said, you know, I want to talk to you guys about maybe coming out and doing an internship in Omaha, Nebraska, the land of corn. All very exciting. I didn't know what was out there but corn. And the Corn Huskers, I guess. Football team. But she talked about coming out doing an internship, as other people had as well. And I assumed at that time that I would just be living in Springfield and doing an internship with either my brother or Seth Ross down there. And I just politely said, thank you, and we'll think about it, we'll pray about it. Really kind of thinking, thank you, thanks anyway. I'm going to stay in my comfort zone in Springfield in Ohio. But God has a funny way of expanding our comfort zones, whether we want Him to or not. So the more we thought about it and the more we prayed about it, we realized that our hearts, as you say, God was tugging on our heartstrings. He was really putting us through a change, and Rachel can attest to that. the more we got to thinking about it, the more we realized that, you know what, maybe that's what God wants us to do. Go out of our comfort zones and start new there with no family, no friends. We don't know hardly anybody out there, if anybody, except Scott and Christy. And just start this whole new life. So that was very scary, but exciting at the same time. And this is my story. And these are all the changes that we're going through. Like I said, some of the most stressful things. I put them all together just because I thought it would be fun to do. But there's many other changes, and I'm sure you all have your stories too, going through in life, having kids, graduating, and buying a house, selling a house, significant losses in your life, whether it be family members, death of a cat, or moving, selling a house, buying a house, all these different things. That's what life is about. It's about change, and it's about coping with change and dealing with that and coming out on the other side, knowing that God can do good things if we love Him in whatever situation it may be. So I just want to give you some encouragement today and share some scripture with you that might help you to thrive through this change. And speaking of thriving, there's a funny story I have to share with you. I might get in trouble for this. But Rachel's mom, Debbie, she's 48 years old. And if you tell her, don't tell her I said that, because that would get me in trouble. But she's 48 years old, not very old. And she went to McDonald's this past week. And she bought a pop and some kind of meal. And she looked on the receipt, and they had given her a 10% discount. And she was wondering, well, what in the world is it? It's not for Memorial Day weekend. It's not because they just want to be nice. And she got to thinking about it, and, oh, I know what they gave it to me for. They gave me a senior discount when I'm only 48 years old. And I don't know when it starts, 55 or 60 or something, but she was telling us this story in the kitchen, and she was very sad, and she was very depressed, telling us how they had just assumed that she was a senior citizen. And on the other side of the coin, my brother Alan, who's only 42, for the past however many several years, his hair has been thinning, and he looks a bit gray, so he looks older, kind of like my dad. Distinguished, sophisticated, right? He looks older, and for the past many years, they've been giving him a senior discount as well. And he says, you know what? Forget it. If they offer it to me, I'm going to take it. So he's thriving with this. He's just accepting it and moving on and turning the page. Rachel's mom has a little bit harder time, but she's working through it. She's working through it. I have some what they might call refrigerator verses for you this morning, things you can put up on your refrigerator like some people like to do. And when you walk past and open the fridge, Americans, we tend to open the fridge, I think, more than other countries. But just see this and be reminded of it and give you hope for a future. And these verses really mean a lot to me. And feel free to write them down and, like I said, put them up on your fridge. The first one I really like is Philippians 4:13. And it says, a lot of you probably know it, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Another version says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It doesn't say, "I can do some things through Christ. He helps me out part of the time." Or, "I can do a lot of things on certain days through Christ and God who give me strength." But it says, "I can do all things. I can do everything." Every change that you're going through, every hardship in your life, even though we can't do it by ourselves. I can't stand before you and speak by myself this morning. I was incredibly nervous. I don't know why. It's just speaking before a few people. But I felt lightheaded this morning. I don't know. But there's all these changes and hard things in our lives that we go through, and we can do everything. That gives me such encouragement for a better day. It gives me such hope, because I'm just a man. I'm just 22 years old, a punk little kid, but I can do whatever God has called me to do. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And what strength he does give us. Amen. Over in Romans 8:28, the Bible says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." I love that so much. Let me read it again. "And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God causes everything, He causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God." All things will work together. What does it mean to love God? It doesn't just mean believing in God. Loving Him means obeying His commandments, following His word, following Jesus' teachings, and trusting Him with all your heart. Just a few of the things it means to love God. But it gives me such a hope, again, to get through change, because whether I'm, of course, getting married isn't, I'm not scared about that. I'm not getting cold feet. She's completely wonderful. But moving out away from everything is pretty difficult. And last week, I don't normally get stressed. I don't normally get burdened by things, but I was beginning to feel a bit overwhelmed with all the details and all the plannings and knowing nobody out there. But God is good, and if we continue to love Him, then He will work out all these things for us for good. In Ecclesiastes it says that nothing is certain. Nothing is certain. There's good things and bad things will happen to us in life, whether we want it to or not. The world is fallen, and there's sin in the world, and that's just the way it is. But I like the song, I think it goes, "Blessed Be Your Name" is the name of the chorus song. We probably sang it here before. And the first verse talks about how things are great, things are wonderful, blessed be your name. The second verse talks about how they're going through all these hardships and the world is dragging down on them, but blessed be your name. In the land of suffering, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away, but blessed be your name. Bad things and good things are both going to happen to us. But if we let God work in our lives, He can use these good and bad things and turn them around and make them good if we only trust Him with them. And that gives encouragement to me, because the world is a pretty sad place. Turn on the news any day and you'll get depressed. I can't hardly watch the news anymore because it saddens me so much. Jeremiah 29:11, I don't know if I even have to look this up, I know it, but it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans that are good, plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Just let that sink. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for disaster, plans to give you a future and a hope." He has a future for us. He has, if we trust Him, He gives us such great hope. He works all these good or bad things for us, and He turns them into good. And He knows the plans He has for us. And I like that, because I have no idea what I'm going to do after the internship. I could come back and pastor. I could do another career. I'm not really sure. But He knows the plans He has for me. And if I trust Him in that, He'll reveal things to me. And I'm just, like I said, I'm just a man. I can't do anything without God, but He's got my back, as they say. And He knows what He has in store for me. And I'm very excited to find that out, because I really want to know. Because it worries you sometimes when you don't know what's going to happen. But He knows. And so trust in that. And then it goes on to say, I like this too, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." Sometimes in life, we don't feel God's presence. sometimes it's us walking away from Him. But the Bible says in many, many different places, if you pray, He's there. If you turn from your wicked ways and seek Him, the Lord's going to let you find Him. If you seek the Lord with all of your heart, you will find Him. He will be there for you. And it gives me encouragement again and a hope for the future. If I continue to seek God and seek His plans for my life, He's going to be there right beside me, helping me out. The Bible says that, and you probably, I'm sure you've read this before, that we're the clay and He's the potter. And how can us, the clay, say to Him, well, God, these are my plans, this is what I'm going to do, and this is the way it's going to be? No. He says, these are the plans I have for you. You need to be moldable. You need to be flexible. I think it was in a post office that they had to sign up, blessed are the bendable, or blessed are the bendable, for they will, blessed are the flexible, for they will never be bent out of shape, which is good when you're standing in the post office line for about a half hour. But it's true. We need to be flexible. We need to bend and let God shape us and mold us into the people that He wants us to become. And reminded me, when we're the clay, there's a creature, he's a character. Have you ever heard of Gumby? He's this green guy, and he used to have a cartoon show, and he's a toy, and he's made out of clay. And he goes on these Gumby's adventures with his little sidekick pony, who's also made out of clay. But interestingly enough, Rachel wrote a poem when she was a little bit younger called The Gumby Challenge, Gumby's Challenge. And I want to read that to you this morning. It's kind of a neat little thing, but it really has value, and it has deep, deep thoughts in it too. So here we go, Gumby's Challenge. This is from Rachel. What if Gumby were mud and hay? Then he'd be brick instead of clay. He'd get broken before he'd agree to be bent. He wouldn't respond to the call he was sent. He'd be so comfy in his utopian pod that he couldn't experience the fullness of God. We need to be like Gumby, so easy for God to bend. Or else we must be broken, and then must let Him mend. So if we are like brick, so solid in our way, we'll miss out on God's blessings that we could have seen as clay. So the next time you are asked to bend, get out of your easy chair, bend to God and lean on Him. Take the Gumby challenge if you dare. I thought that was really cute. I got to give you props. But we need to be like Gumby. We need to be clay. We need to be moldable to God, because He knows what He has in store for us. And He can give us this great hope and these great plans and this great future and help us to get through change, which is very difficult in life, but we all encounter it. We all have to get through it. So take the Gumby challenge next time. And lastly, I just want to share for a few minutes, whether you're younger or older, we all go through changes in life, right? But there's one change, you could call it the biggest and best change that you'll ever experience in life, that God has given to us because of what Jesus went through, His death and all that, the death on the Roman cross. He was crucified. And the Bible says that He became sin. He became past, present, and future sin. And He got rid, He made this pathway to God for us so that we could come back to Him. And so the biggest change that we'll ever experience, that we have this hope for, is going from mortality to immortality, like Jesus did when God raised Him from the dead. He became immortal. And someday we'll have this change if we trust God and rely on Him and follow Him. He will bless us more than words could ever describe with this change into immortality, and giving us the kingdom and letting us dwell again with Him and Jesus here on earth. So this big big future change that we're looking forward to, the second coming of Christ, actually says changed in the twinkling of an eye. The dead will be raised. And that gives us so much hope. All the things we go through in life, yes, they're hard, but they're all pointing towards this moment. We go through these things. I think Paul says, we are all Christians of most men to be pitied if it wasn't for what Christ did. If it wasn't for the life that he gave to us. And so, let me read here in Luke about this future hope that we have. It's Luke 12, starting at 22. And you can kind of close your eyes and meditate on it if you want. It's just phenomenal. Turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. For God feeds them. And you are far more valuable than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Obviously the answer is no. "And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things?" Right? Trust God in all these changes that we're going through. "Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Why do you worry about all these little changes in life that I'm going to take care of?" He says. "And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world." And that's true. "But your Father already knows your needs. He already knows the changes you're going to go through." He says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need." The biggest change. He'll give you everything. "So don't be afraid, little flock," that's us, "for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." God is so happy to give us this blessing of immortality, of eternal life, of changing us in the twinkling of an eye to be and hang out with him and Jesus forever. All the worries of this life seem so minute compared to that big hope. But I just want to encourage you today, and all the changes you go through, big or small, whether you have been through a lot or whether you have a lot to go through, we all have this future change, at least, that we're all looking forward to, and it gives us tremendous hope. So hang in there, and I'll try to hang in there too, through all the stressful changes that life brings to us. But if you trust in God and fully rely on him and love him and obey him, then he'll bring you through it, and he knows the plans he has for you, and he'll take care of you. Amen.